always been fascinated by the paranormal since I was a little kid. Always fascinated by it. I had some experiences as a child. One was at my grandma's house. I kind of felt odd. It was always cold. And I heard footsteps coming out of that bedroom. And then I felt it like stand in front of the door. You could just feel like it's staring through you. It was like super intense.
This is the Crypto Creatures Podcast. I am Brian, and with me as always is my co-host Todd. What's going on, buddy?
Brian, how you doing, man?
Great. Great.
Going to do a little bit of different stuff this week.
Yes, we are.
Got a little bit of ghost and paranormal stuff going on, don't we?
We do, yeah. Jill Shelley, she owns the Boyd House out there in southwest Minnesota.
She does. We yep. met her at the Iowa festival that we went to.
Yep. And, the Midwest Paranormal. The Iowa Midwest, Festival, Midwest yes. Annual Paranormal.
There you go. It's so hard to say every time we say it.
I know. I screw it up every time.
Oh, no, well. It's all good. It's all good. But yeah, had a good time talking to those guys, and we finally got her come on tonight and talk to us. So
Yeah, I'm excited.
This is going to be fun. We're going to talk about some different stuff tonight.
That's right.
You know, something other than Bigfoot.
Yeah, from what I understand, she's got several encounters with the paranormal.
Right.
So it should be fun.
All right. Let's get her on here. You ready?
Right on. Let's get her.
All right. Here we go. Hey, Jill. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
I'm good.
Good. Good. Happy that we finally got you on.
Yeah. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah. Us too.
So are we.
We met you in August at, Brian, where was that at again?
The Midwest Annual Paranormal Festival.
He says it so well. I can't say it right.
Finally. It took me how many months to get there? Right?
I still can't say it right. But we met you there, and we were in the same building hanging out. So it was pretty cool to talk to you there. And you said you'd come on the show, and here we are.
Yeah. Like I said, I'm excited to be here.
Well, we appreciate it for sure. So
absolutely.
So you do many things in the paranormal world. Are you more ghost related, or what things are you kind of into mostly before we get started here and into the depths of things?
Pretty much into the paranormal. Of course, you know, I like everything, you know, because it's all fascinating, you know, from the aliens, but Bigfoot, all that. It's really fascinating. But primarily I just focus on paranormal and ghosts and spiritual adventures at this time.
Cool. Yeah. Okay. We do a lot of shows about the Bigfoot and all that. So we like to change it up a lot and, get into this more spiritual side of things, so to speak. So we're glad to get you on here. Says here you've been a paranormal investigator for over 10 years and you formed a team St. Croix Paranormal in 2010. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that, Jill?
So I've always been fascinated by the paranormal since I was a little kid. Just kind of had different experiences and always fascinated, you know, by it. With the advent of TV is kind of when you're like, oh my gosh, you know, you can actually go investigate. I didn't even know you could. This was a thing. So then in 2010, I actually met a group of great people who had the same interest as I did. And then we formed our group, St. Croix Paranormal, and we started out primarily by doing local homes, businesses in town. And then we kind of ventured out and started doing some of the well-known more haunted locations. And so that kind of just spiraled us into a whole 10 years of craziness.
Gotcha. So when you were a kid, did anything happen that made you drift toward this, or was it just kind of a fascination, or did you hear some stories, or what was it that drew you as a child to this stuff?
A little bit of both. You know, I had some experiences as a child. One was at my grandma's house. I kind of felt there was one room in her house that we always kind of felt was like odd. It was always cold. You always felt unwelcome. None of us kids liked being in that room. And so I remember one night sleeping in one of the rooms, and I woke up in the middle of the night. It was just my parents sleeping upstairs. I was sleeping downstairs. And I woke up and I heard footsteps coming out of that bedroom. And then I felt it like stand in front of the door. And it was like, just, you could just feel like it's staring through you. It was like super intense. Now I'm younger. I'm probably, I don't know, maybe like 8 years old. So I'm not turning around to look at this thing. I'm terrified at this point. But I could hear my parents snoring in the other room. So I was like, okay, it's not them. And my grandma sleeps downstairs. So it's definitely not her. And then you kind of heard it turn around, footsteps went back into the other room. And then that was kind of the end of that. I asked my grandma about it the next morning. Nobody said they got up. And she's like, oh, honey, that's just a ghost and he's not going to hurt you. So then I was really super hooked on that and just kind of had some weird, odd experiences at my house growing up. Sometimes lights would turn on, the radio volume would go up really, really loud for no reason. So I don't think our house was truly haunted. Maybe we had a visitor. I don't know. So yeah, that just kind of just got my fascination and interest. Always like the ghost stories, the horror movies, you know, even from a young girl telling ghost stories in the dark with my cousins and stuff, you know? So right. Just kind of always been like that.
Also says you were on the biography channel, My Ghost Story.
Yeah.
What was that? I was actually trying to look for that episode today for a little bit. I just couldn't find out which one it was. Something about a local bar where you guys were at or something. What was that?
Yeah, it's weird. For some reason, it's really, really hard to find that episode. But anyway, we were investigating a local bar here in Stillwater, Minnesota. At the time, it was called Pub Monique. They had a lot of different activities at the bar. They would like see things turn on and off. The things would fall off the bar, just get like pushed bottles and things. People would see a woman in there. So doing some research, we did find there was a prostitute that was thrown out the window and she died out of the window. And then I think some of the old owners were there as well. So yeah, we went and we did investigation. We actually audibly heard a woman's voice. And the coolest thing, which we captured on film as well, is it was midsummer. So in Minnesota, it's very humid. So it's very hot. It was like 90 degrees, super humid. So the air conditioning was working, but not super well. It just can't keep up with that. And we were upstairs. We were talking. We were about ready to run a spirit box session. And all of a sudden it got like ice cold. Like I was like rubbing my arms. I had goosebumps. And then me and Krista both looked and we're up on the second floor. We saw like this black shadow. I mean, you could, I guess the way you could almost describe it was almost like it was like cloaked in a way, but it was like just like a solid black mass. And it just moved very fast, very quickly, almost in a strobe like motion across the windows. And it just disappeared. And I looked at her and I'm like, did you just like see that? And she's like, oh my God. Yeah, I did. And then we were just super excited to see that we actually had captured that on film as well.
Oh, wow. Cool.
Wow.
So,
yeah.
Wow. So that was really fun. We submitted it to Ghost Story and they brought us out on the show and it was just a super fun experience to just do that.
Awesome. I'll have to look for that again and check that out.
I'll look for it too.
So in 2018, you bought the Boyd House.
Yes. Well, you know, with my team traveling all over the U.S., that's kind of where I got the idea of like, oh my gosh, this would be super fun to have your own place. And so then financially in 2018, I was able to do that. And, you know, it's kind of hard. You can't just be like, hey, does anybody have a haunted house for sale? So they don't really advertise that. So I would just kind of do my own research and get a feel when I would look at the MLS. I'm not really super sensitive, but I kind of get a feel of like, hey, there's something going on at this house. Mm-hmm. So I came across the Boyd House, got very, very attached to it just through the photos. I went down there. I did a mini investigation with Donna, one of my teammates. We were waiting outside, actually, for the realtor to show up. And as we were sitting outside, I was like, hey, you kind of get the feeling like somebody's staring at you out of that attic window. And she's like, oh, yeah, I totally get that experience. And then we kind of went in. It kind of felt like somebody was watching you from a distance the whole way. But we did get our REM pod, which, you know, that detects electromagnetic energy changes. So that started going off within 8 minutes. And then we got some really good spirit box responses just from the get-go. One of them was, who are you? So it was like, you know, this was like this woman's first time of like anybody actually talking to them. So then I actually, so I kind of felt comfortable. I talked to a psychic that I really trust, and she said, oh gosh, yeah, there's like six spirits there. She told me that there were children there, men there, and women there. And as we've moved forward, we've actually confirmed a lot of the things she said. And then I thought, well, you know what? Let's just go right to the source. Let's ask the owners, you know, have they had anything going on? They lived there for 30 years. They must have had something. So they were really reluctant to kind of talk about it. But they did say that they had thought the house was always kind of funny. But that they did hear like some old music playing sometimes. Later, as I started talking with some of the kids that grew up there, they said that yeah, they would see a shadow figure, or sometimes they would see a man sitting in a chair. Friends that have stayed there that have come forward have said that, oh, they've been touched in the middle of the night. So there was kind of a longstanding history there. But as we've moved forward, we've kind of figured out who some of the spirits are.
What's the, for those who don't know, the Boyd House, what is the story of that house? What is the background?
Well, it was built in 1901, but our deed goes back to 1889 when it was owned by the St. Louis Pacific Railroad. So the town basically evolved because having the railroad come through. So at the strongest point, there was like 530 people in town. It was a booming Wild West town. You know, they had hotels and bars and, you know, different grocery stores and hardware stores. It was also butted directly up against the Sioux Dakota Reservation line as well. So I'm sure there was some history going on there that we can't find out that. But one of the main people that we can find of the owners of the old house, as well as having actually proof paranormal-wise that those people are still there, that would be Fred and Minnie Eckhart. And they bought started owning the house in 1912. And Fred was a very well-known businessman in town. He owned his own general store. So they sold a lot of fancy goods, dry goods. They were kind of more of a more upscale elite type store. Then he was also on the fire department. He was helped build one of the churches in town. He was also on the school board. So very, very well respected man in town. So we still get a lot of evidence that he's there. He actually passed away in the home, as well as his wife. Minnie passed away in the home. They actually held her funeral for 3 days in the home. We have the three bay windows, which is real common back in the day when they would put the bodies there to kind of release right. their spirits. So she was there. Two of their children passed away. One of them choked to death. I believe he was like 3 or 4 years old. So we get a lot of childlike activity. We also have an older lady named Anna that passed away. But you know, they're all other than the child choking, they've all been like natural causes. You know, the baby, I believe, was SIDS. So we have that. And then I think we get some passerbys, and I get a lot of some of the same names over and over again. But we can't find any tie, you know, as far as like looking at the deed or history, anything like that. But we also do have a lot of, old antiques in the house and supposed haunted objects as well. So there could be a lot of activity brought in from those as well.
So okay. Don't you offer, guided tours or even overnight stays at the house? Is that right? Or did I read that?
Yeah, we don't do any guided tours, but what we offer is overnight private paranormal investigation. So your team is the only one in the house. We allow you in there from 3 p.m. till noon the next day. So it gives you a lot of good time to investigate, get set up. And then I always say have dinner, investigate some more, and then you can get some shut eye before you have to drive home. So it just kind of gives you a good amount of energy and time to get things, you know, figured out.
Yeah.
Get a lot of experiences while you're at the house.
What kind of experiences have people had there? What's some stories that you can tell us about? I'm sure you have a lot.
Yeah, it runs a lot, you know, it depends on the day as well. So it's not like it's not nonstop action. But most commonly people hear footsteps. They'll audibly hear like kids' voices laughing, children playing. I've audibly heard women's voices. Like I remember one night the team and I were staying and I was upstairs sleeping, and you know, it's the old floor grates, you know, that just go in between the floors. And it was like 7 in the morning. I woke up and I'm like, oh, it's kind of nice just laying here, just, you know, peaceful morning. And I heard women talking and I'm like, oh my gosh, the girls are up. So I went downstairs and there's not a sleep. So I was just like, okay. So then I go down in the basement. I'm like, okay, well, I don't want to bog them. I'll go down in the basement and I'll start cleaning up. And so I started doing that. And I heard footsteps walking above, like in the kitchen. And I'm like, oh, well, they're up now. So I go up there and they're still sleeping. So I'm just like, oh my gosh. And then I was like, okay, well, now I'm just going to tidy up the kitchen. So I work in there and all of a sudden I hear movement and stuff going on upstairs. And I'm like, okay, well, Donna's got to be up. So I kind of crept halfway upstairs and I kind of took a listen and Donna's still snoring. I'm like, nope. Okay. I'm like, you guys are really messing with me today.
So. Yeah. Somebody was, I would think.
Oh, but. Yeah.
So in your years of paranormal investigation, what were some of the weirdest or creepiest things that you ran into back then?
Probably, and we all kind of always talk about it, is one place is called Whispers Estate, and that's in Mitchell, Indiana. That place has a lot of negativity to it. They have, like, there was a doctor who did unethical things to his patients. They buried body parts in the backyard. Yeah. His daughter accidentally, you know, got burned from a candle fire. And so supposedly 3 days later, he did a mercy killing on her with an overdose of morphine. There's another child that like fell and died. There's a guy who's really crabby that died on the day of his retirement. So he's really angry. So just a lot of negative there. From the get-go, when we walked in, it was this constant cobwebs. I mean, we're all just like touching our face, like, oh my God, oh my gosh. You know, like you trying to wipe stuff off your face. And this was just going on all night long. We saw wet footprints coming up from the basement, going outside, which none of us had been down in the basement. And I think what the main thing was, is we were up in the closet where they say that a lot of people get locked into, and it's an old, you know, kind of a lock where you have to kind of pick it up and then slide it back over and then drop it down. People get locked in there. So it's almost impossible for that to happen. So of course, you know, we decided, hey, let's go in this crazy closet. And, and it's a big closet. So, I mean, they even have like a little small table and chairs and a few other objects. So, you know, it's very big, a bigger like walk-in. And so, wow. And something in my head just said, a male voice just said, get out of this closet. So I decided to step out, but then I didn't say anything to Teresa because I thought, well, you know, I got a fear about being in closets anyway, because I was like, the door's going to get shut on me, so I can't handle it. So I stepped out. Mm-hmm. At the same time, the spirit box said, shut this door. And we didn't do that either. And Teresa was sitting actually on a chair in the back of the closet. And all of a sudden, her and that chair came launching about 4 feet out. And she landed in the hallway because something pushed her. She said, he physically picked me up and pushed my chair. And it was kind of interesting because of the people that stay there with you at the house came up and they said that, you know, they're very in tune with the house. And they said the house was very angry with you and they wanted you to stop making all that noise, and that's why that happened.
Oh wow.
So, yeah.
I googled
goosebumps. Look, I got hair standing up on mine.
Yeah, these stories give me the chills sometimes too. Brian, did you Google Mitchell, Indiana?
I did not.
It is right smack dab in the middle of the Hoosier National Forest.
Is it really?
Down by Brown County, as we know. Mm-hmm. Very interesting area. Jill, that's an area where a lot of Bigfoot sightings supposedly happen too as well.
Yeah.
And I don't
know. It was very, very, very rural, you know, so it's out there.
Right. So what do you think these ghosts are? Are they spirits from people who have passed on? Are they, obviously that's probably what these things are. What makes them hang around? What do you think is going on there?
Well, they're just, you know, people like you and I, they're just in a different form, you know, and, you know, all of the stuff that paranormal investigators have come up with as far as why they're here, you know, again, is all theory, because until we pass away, we're not going to know. But right. It kind of tends to lean towards a lot of unfinished business at some points. A lot of times it's just pure attachment to your home. If they've loved that place so much, they don't want to go on. But we've also found religious reasons too. You know, if you figure back in the day, even if you committed one small crime that was against, you know, the 10 testaments that they have, the 10 commandments, that that's like, oh my gosh, I'm going to go to hell because I stole or I thought this or I, you know, and so that might be another reason that holds them back from that time period as well. You know, there's just many, many different reasons, but those are the main common ones that people think.
Yeah, that's interesting. I kind of, you said that too. You know, you made a point about not moving on, unfinished business and all that. Maybe sometimes people who are just, you know, struggle in life, kind of hang in that atmosphere and kind of move around before they can move on to the next thing. But no, like you said, nobody knows until you die.
Right.
And that's the main thing about it. You just don't know. So for people not to believe in ghosts or Bigfoot or whatever, you know, you just don't know. I mean, no one knows. It's speculation. It's belief. I understand that people have religion, but, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on and a lot of weird stuff, a lot of unexplained stuff, but, definitely a lot in the paranormal world in your field. What else, what other stories do you have that you can tell us about, in the audience that might be interesting?
Let's see. I'm just trying to think of some really good things. You know, a lot of different kind of equipment that we use. One thing I really like is what's called a spirit box. If people aren't familiar with that, it usually scans the radio stations from one spectrum to the other end of the spectrum, usually in 1/100th of a second. And so then you can't usually, scientifically, you can't speak that quickly. So that's one tool that I like to use a lot in investigating just because I love the science behind that. And one of my favorite stories with that is we had gone to a private home in Stillwater, and the man who owned it was like a professor, but he had like, oh gosh, I don't know, like 50 different PhDs and MDs and all this stuff behind his name. So very, very, very intelligent man. And he said, well, I don't have any experiences, but my family all has experiences. So then we were kind of at the house and I explained the source of the spirit box. The house we were at actually was owned by a riverboat captain named Captain Jenks back in the day. And he, you know, helped guide through the St. Croix River. And I said on the spirit box, whose house is this? And plain as day, it said Captain Jenks. And he was just so floored. And I made him a believer from that day. And so I think that was like a super cool, that's like a super cool story for me.
That is pretty cool.
Having somebody skeptical, especially with the, you know, amount of education this man has. And then, Right. Yeah, so that was kind of a cool thing for me.
Jill, what upcoming investigations do you have planned, if any, or any shows?
Right now, we're just kind of winding down as far as any traveling goes. We just hit, like, I believe, like 4 places this year. We went to Illinois. We went to like the Salem. We went to Iowa to Granger House Museum, Stevenson Building in Nebraska. So we're pretty much winding up just with winter coming. It's hard for travel. So we'll pretty much stay
right.
With the Boyd House at this point, you know, weather permitting us to get down there. So that's kind of where, and then we'll plan our, usually winter time is when I plan our different trips. So I got some places on my want to go list. We're going to try flying this year. So I'm kind of nervous about how TSA will think of REM pod as a bomb or something. So,
yeah, no kidding.
So we'll see. We'll see how a fly trip goes.
Is that something you want to carry on board with you?
I think so. But then I think some people said you could check it. So I don't know. I guess I'd have to find out.
Depends on how much you're worried about it getting tossed around, because they will toss that stuff around. Just
right,
unless exactly. You've got that packed in like the foam exact casing, and just be careful. If you can take it with you, yeah. But
that's what we kind of planned on, as you know, we'd all 4 of us, you know, carry as much as you stuff you can. This is all we're just see how much we can get through.
Yeah. Tell everybody where the Boyd House is. I think get a hold of you. Maybe they can schedule a overnight.
Yeah. So I wasn't really creative on the name. So it's in Boyd, Minnesota. So it's about 145 miles southwest of the Twin Cities. So what you can do is, if you're interested in booking a night, you can get a hold of us either on Facebook. You can do our Boyd House or St. Croix Paranormal. You can go to our website, which is stcroixparanormal.com, or you can just hit us up straight up at boydhouse217@yahoo.com. And then we can just send us what kind of month you're looking at, and then we'll just let you know what we have available for overnights.
All right. That's awesome. Well, we'll link all this stuff too when we post the story. So
Right.
So people see it and they can get a hold of you.
So Jill, what do you think about interacting with these paranormal ghost spirits? You think it's definitely something that is we're capable of? Is it just perchance? Or what's your thought there? I mean, are you into that kind of thing? Are you guys trying to bring these things out? You're just searching for what's going on, maybe help them on their way. What's your theory there?
Well, we just try to, wherever location we're at, just try to figure out who's there and why they're there. Our team tends to focus more on life than death. So we want to know more about how the person was in life than they are now in death. But I have been doing some more research as far as like, what is it like over there? Like, what can you tell me? You know, is there a God? Is there a heaven? Is there? So I've kind of been learning and doing some different questions in that regards and getting some of the same similar responses. Oh, so it's kind of helping me focus like, yeah, there is something to this. So yeah, that's kind of where we're at.
What kind of answers are you getting?
Well, they do say that.
Sorry, I have to. I'm going to ask. I'm asking.
There's a God.
Yeah, but they can follow you. They can follow you home if they want. Your loved ones do come and greet you.
Can my grandma see what I do every day? I mean, that's what worries me sometimes. Is my grandma watching me right now?
No kidding.
Yeah. And I've asked them, I said, do you meet new people on the other side? And they said, yes. And these questions are things I ask more than one place. And the reason I kind of came up with that question is when I was listening to Spirit Box, a lot of times I can hear them like chit chatting, having conversations with each other. And one particular time I heard that said, my name is Drew. And it said, pleased to meet you. And I was like, wait a minute. Like, do they meet new people? So, and like you would hear conversations. And so that's why I started asking. And more than once I got, yes, that you meet other people. That I've noticed, whenever we had talked about God or heaven or, you know, Jesus, any of those things, it like shuts down completely. And I take it for what it's worth, but we were actually at a rectory. And we were speaking with a priest who had committed suicide. So he was stuck there, he said, because of that.
Yeah, reason. He ain't going nowhere. Yeah,
yeah, and he regretted that. But then I started, we were using a K2 meter. So if it lit up, you know, the answer was yes. If it didn't do anything, the answer was no. And I just said, is there a heaven? And then nothing lit up. And I'm like, so no, there's not a heaven, and nothing happened. And I go, you can't tell me this, can you? And all of a sudden it went immediately to the light up like, yeah, I can't tell you. So I kind of feel like they shut down, because I've noticed instances.
Heaven has a gag order?
I don't know. I think there's just certain things that you're not supposed to know, or they can't tell you. I don't know.
That makes sense.
What I'm saying in my findings. So, that's just kind of what
That's very interesting. That's very interesting, because
that is really cool.
Yeah. I mean, if there's a heaven, we're supposed to know about it, right?
Right. But then I have two.
No, instances. You're supposed to have faith.
Yeah. I have two instances though, that kind of verifies, I guess in my mind, for the heaven thing. Like one is my aunt or my uncle had passed away. And for 3 days he came and visited my aunt. And on the third day he said, there's a heaven and it's beautiful. And he disappeared. And he never said it, and she never saw him again. So that was kind of interesting. And then when my mom passed away, I said, before she passed away, I said, hey, you got to come tell me. You got to come tell me if there's another side. You got to let me know. So then my daughter had a very vivid dream shortly after my mom passed away. And she's like, hey, she told me, which my daughter didn't know any of this question. I told my mom, she said, she told me to tell you, the answer is yes. She goes, I don't know what that means, but she wanted me to tell you that. So I was like, cool.
Wow.
So. You know, so take it for what it's worth, but you know, it's kind of cool for me. Right. I get that validation. So
you gotta have hope in something better, right? You've got to have hope in that, at least something the same or better. You know, everyone does, and to think less than that is, you know, idiotic, honestly. I mean, yeah. A lot of people believe different things, you know, we get into a religious thing here, but, you know, the Christian God and Jesus and the whole heaven thing, you know, a lot of people don't believe in that thing, but they do believe in similar things, or, you know, something created us. We are here somehow, some way.
Higher power.
Higher power, right? And we're interacting with things that aren't the same as us, right?
Right.
Not physical forms. So, you know, it kind of gives you hope. It gives you a little thought, you know, okay, mm-hmm. something mm-hmm. else is out there beyond the physical body, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yep, absolutely.
Well, and that's kind of why I started, you know, investigating too, is I was like afraid to die. Like, I didn't want to be buried in a box under the ground. Like, is that it? Like, I can't.
I just stay there. Yeah.
I can't deal with that. So it was like, you know, it was kind of a quest to like, can I just prove that there's something else going on? Cause I can't handle this being in a box thing. So,
right.
Yeah. Kind of proven that to myself. So then I just kind of spent a little more research on the other side. You know, with the thing with having the Boyd House, you know, going, you're able to go multiple times and you're able to make that connection with the spirits. So I can make more, you know, I wouldn't say I can get a little bit more evidence, a little bit more validation of who's there just based on getting to know them more. Right. They get to know me. So they start to trust you, that kind of thing.
And
so.
Do you feel like when you go there, they know you, they're accepting of you. They know you're the owner of the home. Do you get that from them?
Oh yeah, totally. But some when we first started, because we did a lot of renovations, so we brought it back into like the 1900s. I was just on the spirit box, and they said, "Are you the guys that paint?" And I'm like, "Oh great, now they just think we're the caretakers." So it's like,
they know we own you.
So yeah, they have said on the spirit box, "You're the owner." And then it was kind of cool. I talked to a psychic. Actually, it was, I think his name was Eric, but I'm not sure. But he was actually at the Marshalltown. And I had asked him, you know, he said, "Oh, I'm a psychic." And I said, "Well," he likes to go to places and then have a paranormal team come in and see if they have the same type of thing. And I said, "Oh, gosh, do you do that? Because I'd love a read on my house." And he kind of started talking and started telling me things about the house, which was super crazy, like, because he knew nothing about the house. So one thing he just happened to say, he goes, "Oh, somebody wallpapered there and it was their first time. They didn't know what it was." And he said, "The spirits thought it was hilarious." And me and my husband had wallpapered. We've never done it. There was a lot of arguing going on. There was a lot of, you know, things that got screwed up. It was a circus. I'll tell you that. So, you know, I'm sure they were laughing at that. But yeah, he was just saying like things like, he's like, "Oh, I felt choking there," which, you know, relates to the little child that was choking. Mm-hmm. But he did say that, one of the spirits there, one of the stronger females, really does like me, and she protects me at night because I have this big fear of like waking up in the middle of the night, opening my eyes and having someone stare at me. So okay. she protects me so that doesn't happen, because she wants me to get the rest that I need, because she likes the fact I clean the house.
Wow. Jeez.
So yeah, there is kind of that connection, you know, and I talk to him all the time when I'm there. Like, because I have to do a lot of the cleaning and maintenance, so I'm not always investigating, although I usually will throw a voice recorder on the whole time that I'm there. So I will just, you know, talk about my day and what's going on. And I get some pretty interesting responses just from just rambling on. So my favorite one is that there's a lady, she's pretty crabby. She sounds like she smokes a lot of cigarettes, so she kind of talks like this. But I get her voice a lot, and I was just in one of the rooms, and I was like, "Hey, you know, here's my week. What's been going on?" I was like, "That," like, I just would not stop. And so I was kind of talking a little bit, so I talked over it and get the whole thing. But she just said, "I'm trying to sleep." So I was like, "Oh gosh, sorry," you know. Nice. But I didn't say that at the time. But when I got home, I was like, "Oh, now I feel bad. I was like keeping you up from your nap."
Do you ever feel threatened there, or is it always, you know, a calm kind of feeling?
We have really, really friendly spirits. We don't have anything vicious, malevolent at the house. Mostly, like, you might get a tug on your shirt, which I think is from the kids. Yet I've had one guy say he got pinched, but he was being kind of aggressive towards Fred, and he will push back if pushed. But we hope that most people will be mostly respectful in the home based out of it. We just have, you know, just regular old folks at the house. So just to treat them with a lot of respect.
Cool.
Oh, yeah. That's pretty cool.
Brian, we got to take a trip to Boyd, Minnesota.
Absolutely. I'd love to go there.
Oh, yeah. We'd love to have you guys out. It'd be fun. It'd be
come check great. It out. Do a night investigation. And
Do a live broadcast from there.
That'd scream like little girls. Yeah, that's probably what would happen.
I probably would, too.
Well, we did get a really haunted painting there. Well, so it says, and we'll see. But really? We actually, you know, we like to collect things that say that they're haunted. Mm-hmm. I actually bought some haunted dolls, too, from this lady down there at the island.
I don't do dolls. And
either. She told me this doll. She says, this doll was from the Psychic Institute, and she had been researched, and she bought two of them, and the one she won't part with, but she gave me this one doll. So I bought this doll, and I had it there at the house, and I was in the room where I put it, and all of a sudden, I heard this noise in the corner, and I kind of saw her, like, almost, like, shaking back and forth like this, you know, like, really fast. And I go, and Teresa was in the other room. So my first thought is like, you know, Teresa's causing vibration.
Now I've got goosebumps on my arms.
I don't know.
What are you doing? And she's like, nothing. I'm just standing here. I'm like, okay, well, that doll just moved. So it's like, so yeah, we got her. And then we got.
So the doll's still there in the house?
Yeah, she's still there.
Jill.
Maybe we won't go.
Yeah, we got a few dolls that are supposedly haunted. I don't know if they are or not.
Ugh. Creepy dolls.
We have a really weird, creepy painting that we picked up. Somebody was just giving it away, and she said, "This is a super creepy painting." And she's like, "Please come and get it. I always felt like it was evil and something staring at me. It's outside in my front yard. Just come and get it." So we came and got it, of course. So then we hit her up back later because we're like, can you give us some history on this painting? And it's this weirdest, I can't even describe it. It's like some evil looking trees with some red chairs and a monkey. And it is just like the weirdest thing you've ever seen, like in a porch. It's just crazy. Around the frame is a story about monkeys, and it's a way creepy story.
So we
hit her up about it. She said years ago, her and her husband found it on the side of the road next to a tree, just like the one in the picture with some red chairs, just like the one in the picture. They took it. The husband's like kind of wishes he didn't take the chairs, so he wishes he had. But anyways, he hung it in her garage. She hated it. She never wanted to read the story because she felt like she was going to summon a demon.
Right.
She kind of felt like there was a demon looking at her out of the painting.
Wait.
And then the creepy thing is her husband committed suicide in front of this painting.
So my God.
I was freaking out because she's like, there's no reason. She's like, he was happy. We had kids. He had a great job. Not that it means anything, but the odds are like, why would he have done that? So anyway, she just wanted it gone. And so we took it.
Maybe he read the story.
Jill, did you tell us that at the paranormal convention? Am I having a deja vu?
I probably did tell you that.
Maybe you did. I'm thinking, man, I've heard this story before somewhere. I don't know where, but Brian doesn't remember it. So maybe you didn't, but
yeah, I don't know.
Maybe he didn't hear me.
So much going on.
Yeah, there was a lot. We were talking to a lot of people.
Busy. It was busy. Yes.
But either way, yeah, I was, got a little deja vu there. So but
yeah, that, I've seen horror movies like that.
I know, as we were reading the story and spinning the painting, I'm like, you guys, do you think we're opening a portal while we're reading this?
Oh, geez. You know, it's so funny.
You did read it?
We did read it, yeah.
It's funny. I was flipping through the channels last night, and Poltergeist was on.
Oh, that freaked me out. I didn't sleep for days after that.
And my wife has never seen that, so I turned it on. We're watching it, and she's like, what is going on? What is this? And I was like, that's awesome. An awesome movie. Awesome movie. But it's, you know, that creepiness, that paranormal house kind of thing. So Jill, we appreciate you coming on and talking to us tonight.
Yeah, this was a lot of fun.
Oh yeah, it was great to be here.
Yeah,
glad we got to meet you in person at the show and get you on here and talk about your adventures. And if the guys who are into the paranormal hunting want to get out there and come see you at the Boyd House, they can look you up on what, Facebook or
Yeah, you can do Facebook or, like I said, our website, St. Croix Paranormal, or just hit us up directly. Just shoot us an email at boydhouse217@yahoo.com.
Cool.
And
cool.
Again, we'll link all that stuff when we post this interview.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
We will definitely get you some publicity.
For sure.
Awesome.
For sure.
Appreciate it. Thank you so much.
We appreciate you coming on and talking to us. So.
Yeah, it was fun, but I don't know about them creepy dolls.
Yeah. I'm with Brian on that one. Dolls, no.
That wouldn't stop us from coming there, but.
No.
I'd just turn it.
I'd probably do a selfie with a doll just because I'm in, and then I'd be in trouble. I'd be cursed for
probably
it.
Probably would.
Yeah, we got some creepy ones. We got creepy clowns too, because, you know.
Oh, God.
Did you say clowns?
Oh, my God. Yes, it's been worse.
No wonder that place is. Clowns. No wonder your it doesn't have to be haunted to be creepy. Dolls and clowns. Jeez, I'm done. Yikes. And then you got ghosts on top of it. Here you go.
That's right. Gives you all the good ambiance while you're there.
You definitely got them all.
Yeah, you'll get your money's worth for sure, I'm sure.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you again, Jill. It was fun.
Yeah. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
No problem. You have a good night. Take care.
Yeah, have a good one. Oh, man, that was good. She had some really good stories.
Definitely.
I got some goosebumps on a couple of those.
I did, too. Yeah. I didn't want to admit it, but I did. Yeah. A lot of stuff going on out there with the ghost world, if you will.
There is, yeah.
You know, we talk about Bigfoot, Dogman, all these, you know, tangible cryptids, so to speak. But you've got these entities out there and these ghosts and these things going on. And nobody really knows what that is. But there's so many different...
Yeah, it's an interesting topic for sure.
Levels of this paranormal stuff that we talk about. So it was good to bring her on.
I hope we can get out to the Boyd House one of these days and check that out. That sounds like a good time.
Yeah, I've never done that before.
Me either.
Before it never interested me, but I think I would do it. I think I would do it.
Mm-hmm.
I'd check it out. So maybe it
sounds cool. It's kind of like a haunted bed and breakfast.
We should do it. Yeah, and then we should do a show on it.
Absolutely.
Thanks for hanging out with me.
Always fun.
Till next time, you take care, man.
Yep. Right, see ya.